Welcome to Africa Now, Washington's only program dedicated to covering issues facing the continent and the entire African diaspora. Today, I look at the National Museum of African Art and environmental issues in the Niger Delta. Africa Now is next. Welcome to Africa Now. I'm your host, Muiz Omtali, and of course, that was Salif Keita, Nupa Buje. You can't move us. The National Museum of African Art first opened its doors in 1964 as the Museum of African Art, becoming the first museum exclusively dedicated to African art in the U.S. At the time, it was a privately owned collection of Warren M. Robins. By an act of Congress in 1979, the Smithsonian Institution assumed the management of the collection, and in 1987, it moved from the former home of Frederick Douglass to its present location on the National Mall. The National Museum of African Art will be hosting a major exhibition entitled African Mosaic, celebrating a decade of collecting, which will focus on unveiling a new acquisition. The centerpiece of the exhibition will be a sculpture of the Haitian Revolution leader Toussaint Louverture by contemporary Senegalese artist Ousmane Sow. Joining us today in the studio to talk about the National Museum of African Art and the African Mosaic exhibit is the director of the museum, Dr. Janetta B. Cole, together with curator Karen Milbourne. Dr. Cole has been the director of the National Museum of African Art in Washington, D.C. since March of 2009. She has a long and distinguished career as an educator and humanitarian. Her work as a college professor and president, her published works, her speeches, and her community service consistently addressed issues of racial, gender, and all other forms of discrimination. Much of her work in the interest of equality and social justice is now centered in her role as the chair of the board of the Janetta B. Cole Global Diversity and Inclusion Institute, founded at the Bennett College for Women. Dr. Cole is President Emerita of Bennett College for Women and Spelman College. She is the only individual to have served as the president of the two historically black colleges for women in the United States. She is also Professor Emerita at Emory University, from which she retired as Presidential Distinguished Professor of Anthropology, Women's Studies, and African American Studies. And also joining us with us today is Dr. Karen Milbourne. And she has been a curator at the Smithsonian National Museum of African Art since May of 2008. Previously, she was Associate Curator for African Art and Department Head for Arts of Africa and the Americas, Asia, and the Pacific Islands at the Baltimore Museum of Art in Baltimore, Maryland. She joined the National Museum of African Art, where she has curated the exhibition called Arts in Dialogue, Antonio Ole and Ami Mpani, and provided in-house supervision for the exhibition Yenke Shanaberry MBE, and is delivering the major traveling show, developing the major traveling show and catalog entitled Earth Matters, Land as Material and Metaphor in the Arts of Africa, exhibition Arts in Dialogue 2, Sandile Zulu and Henrique Oliveira will be opening on February 2nd, 2011. Dr. Milbourne has received numerous awards and fellowships, including the prestigious Fulbright Fellowship. Welcome to Africa Now, both of you. We're honored and privileged to have Dr. Cole with us here. This is your first time with us. And so Karen as well, thank you very much for coming to Africa Now. And for full disclosure, also Dr. Cole is my boss in a way, in my day job, because she's also one of the board members of Trans-Africa Forum, where I work. First of all, Dr. Cole, In the time with the National Museum of Art, how do you feel the relationship has been with the museum, the African diaspora community that we have here in Washington, D.C.?
Well, first I want to say it's really a joy to be here. I appreciate this circle. You and I go back a long time. My relationship with the good Dr. Karen is not as long, but it's a very deep and special one. It's just a joy. It's a joy to be at that museum, and it's a particular privilege for us to successfully say we really want to be in very close communion, not only with the communities of the diaspora here in the Washington area, but also very specifically with African immigrant communities. We're very fortunate to have received a grant from the Kellogg Foundation that allows us to specifically reach into those many and diverse communities. We've even formed an African Advisory Committee so that our voices and our understanding as curator, as director, as mount maker can be in conversation with the voices that come from around those 54 countries on the continent of Africa.
And I guess I should have defined African diaspora more broadly, because I guess we always forget the African diaspora. Now it's a multitude of definitions. You have the old African diaspora, which has been here for over 200 years, but then you have the newly African diaspora, the immigrant community. And thank you for clarifying that with us. And so you think that impact is going to have a big impact by having this committee to help the museum out in various ways.
Like any project, like any effort, it's a process. It's not an event. I'm very pleased to say we are involved in the process. Let me just give one example. For the final game of the World Cup, I can tell you that museum was simply on fire. Folk had come in celebration of the fact that that final game was taking place on the continent of Africa. That to me says a great deal, because I think that our responsibility is to continue to mount these absolutely stunning exhibitions that our three curators manage to do. But it's also our responsibility to engage in a range of activities that bring people into that museum, that offers a way of seeing not only the African continent, but of seeing oneself. And if we have to do it around football, or as some folk would call it, soccer. That's fine as well.
Yeah, I missed that event. I was not because I didn't want to be there, but I was actually in Jamaica for a wedding, so unfortunately I missed that event. But I heard about it. I heard it was fun. And I just wanted to also something that the museum has been doing, which is connected to the African diaspora communities, which is coming up on Saturday. I think you're having Africa in Motion, which is looking at celebrating the 50 years of independence for several African countries this year in 1960, several countries, over 17 countries in Africa became independent. And you're having a special event which features a number of African diaspora performers. I don't know if any one of you could share, talk about that briefly.
We are having a number of programs. We also are having a website that will look to this heritage, and we have an opportunity through the website to invite individuals actually to contribute back and tell us their memories of independence and contribute in that way. On Thursday this week, we're having a symposium in conjunction with George Washington University that's also looking at independence through the spectrum of a number of disciplines, mm-hmm. from art history to global studies, political science, and so forth. So this is really something where we're trying to engage local students, university professors, communities, every individual, and this is through multiple means, through the internet, through symposia, through the exhibitions, and so forth.
Yeah, it's interesting because whenever people think of museums, they only think of the static collections where you're going to see something on the wall and or seeing something on a pedestal. With mm-hmm. I'm glad that, to see that the museum is really expanding the what it means in to be a museum, that is not something that's sort of stuck in one generation. It's a continuous movement.
Absolutely. The museum consistently includes performances, musical performances, dance performances, spoken word performances. These are all a part of the programs that we offer. And with all of the artworks, and this exhibition certainly brings this to the fore, it's a journey. New artworks come in, they shape different visions. We ask people to come in and see how it changes, that this is part of a dialogue with the community.
And so the exhibition you're talking about is the African Mosaic. If you could tell us a little bit more, I mentioned a couple of the pieces that will be there, the Haitian, the sculpture of the Haitian revolutionary leader, Toussaint Louverture, and others as well.
Well, the exhibition includes more than 100 or approximately 112 objects in it, so there's quite a few gems for people to come and see. The Toussaint Louverture sculpture really defies description. It is an experience, and so people must come in and see this heroic figure and the whole story of its construction, from the biography of Ousmane Sow, the man, to his unique process. Each and every one of his sculptures is unique in the very way that he fabricates it. And then the way that he is engaged with this moment in history is incomparable. In addition to this, we have works of classical African art, including a stunning Kron mask. And we have works of popular art that will just capture your imagination. I mean, a briefcase made out of Coca-Cola cans, coffin in the form of a Nokia cell phone where God's hand reaches out and says, hello.
Please, Karen. I just wanted to stop for a moment on Karen's first point, and that is this figure of Toussaint Louverture as he lifts up an elderly enslaved woman. In many ways, it captures so much of who we are and who we want to become as a museum. Because here's a work by a contemporary African artist, Senegalese artist Ousmane Sow, who brings to us this heroic figure, rooted, of course, in the experience of Haiti in the diaspora. But the message is so clear. It is not only about the liberation of Haitian people. I think it's about a universal cry for freedom. And so when our museum is able to do all of that in one major work of art, it just feels, it's breathtaking, it's stunning. And as Karen said, there's no way to describe this work. At the risk of being a little bit simplistic, let me just say that when folk go to the Louvre, you know, doesn't much matter what is there, they say, if they haven't seen the Mona Lisa. We think this work by Ousmane Sow will be that kind of destination work. People will come because they must see that particular work. But while that work gives me chill bumps when I look at it, I want to also describe what it was like yesterday for me as the director to have my own guided tour by curator Dr. Karen Milburn. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It created a sense of agitation at the same time that it created a sense of comfort. All of those dualities took place. And so I just want to say how extraordinarily successful I think our three curators have been in presenting not all, but highlights from a decade of collecting.
And that's Dr. Janetta Cole, and we also have with us in the studio Karen Milburn, Dr. Karen Milburn of the Smithsonian Museum of African Art. And we're talking about the museum and also specifically about the African Mosaic Collection, which is entitled African Mosaic, Celebration of a Decade of Collecting. And this is Africa Now on WPFW. And we're going to continue the discussion. It's interesting, you mentioned about the Osman, I'll go back to the Osman Sow sculpture. It's so timely. So, you know, Haiti has been in the news this year because of the earthquake and then the flooding. And, of course, now the cholera incident. And unfortunately, whenever we hear about Haiti, we always hear a country in need, but we never get to see the strength of Haiti, the positive aspect of Haiti that has brought to not just the African world community, but the entire world community for bringing the ideas of freedom, democracy, and other, et cetera, and culture as well. And I know the Smithsonian Museum this year as well has been doing an exhibit, which started in June, about looking at children and how they're dealing with the earthquake crisis. If you could tell us a little bit more about that project as well.
Well, first, I would like to, excuse me, I want to describe.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I want to describe a larger project by the Smithsonian Institution and then situate what we have done with great pride and joy. The Smithsonian as a whole, once that earthquake struck, said in essence, we could send flashlights, we could send tents, we could send water, but what we know best, and perhaps what we're best in giving, is to be of assistance with salvaging cultural heritage. And so a project began. It is now actually in the form of a building in Port-au-Prince where individuals from the Smithsonian and from other cultural agencies are doing their best to save painting after painting out of the rubble, to see if there's some way to restore a stained glass window. And perhaps the most important thing that this Smithsonian project is doing is to train and support Haitian curators so that, and conservators, so that when the Smithsonian leaves, Haitian people will be fully in charge of that ongoing process of restoration. We at the National Museum of African Art were asked specifically by the First Lady of Haiti, Madame Elizabeth Preval, if we would exhibit 83 drawings by children done in a camp that she had helped to set up, a camp where they're using art as a healing process in response to the trauma of that earthquake. Now, our museum usually presents historical artworks, contemporary artworks of the continent. But we saw such a connection here, and we saw such a responsibility. So we are proud to have this exhibition. It's in the International Concourse of the Ripley Visitor Center. These drawings by Haitian children, we appropriately named that exhibition The Healing Power of Art.
Yeah, I saw the flyer. It looks really great. It's very color. Unfortunately, we're on radio, so we can't see. you can't see the flyer, but it, trust me, it looks fantastic. All the children's work and showing how people are using art as really as a medicine to overcome a really traumatic experience. I don't know if Karen had anything to add on that.
I do, actually. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the artwork, the Osman Sow piece. And for one thing, let your audiences know that on Saturday, November 20th in the afternoon at 2 p.m., I believe, all the public has the opportunity to meet Osman Sow. He will be in the museum for the unveiling of his artwork. And on that Saturday, he will be meeting with the public to talk about his artistic process. And in terms of this artwork, part of what I think does make it so magnificent, I mean, some of it is the heroic stance of the figure, the way that he is helping an enslaved woman up from her feet towards freedom and towards the future. And that is why it is such a powerful metaphor for liberation and freedom, as Dr. Cole so rightly said. And this is a story that too often goes untold. And I think that it needs that calling out. And that's another reason why, again, it fits so well within this exhibition, because the exhibition also includes paintings from Ethiopia that mm-hmm. include the subject of the Battle of Adwa, mm-hmm. in which Emperor Menelik II defeated the Italians as they tried to colonize Ethiopia and thus maintained independence for Ethiopia. These stories that go too often untold, particularly to an American public, but not exclusively, they're all there in the museum. You can see this incredibly vibrant, rich, diverse history and creative expression, and that needs to be seen. I mean, it's a beautiful exhibition just because it's beautiful artwork, but these stories of independence and pride and strength and diversity are all there.
So you'd say that having the African Mosaic exhibit creates an opportunity to really shed light on to the general public on things which are not often exposed about African culture, because oftentimes, unfortunately, museums are stuck on a certain era of African culture. It's like as if the African culture died in the 1800s and then it didn't continue.
Well, there was a conference and everybody agreed artists will produce nothing else.
Yeah,
we've done our best work.
So you think that it sort of destroys that myth that there's a continuous evolution of the culture.
Well, I hope that this exhibition, and actually, frankly, really all that the museum does, helps to dispel this myth. I mean, we have another wonderful exhibition up called A Brave New World that looks at the role of travel in international art. As you mentioned, we have another exhibition opening in February that looks at how a South African artist is in conversation with a Brazilian artist, mm-hmm. that these are global concerns. We also never lose sight of the tremendous legacy of African creativity and show the best exemplars of historic work. But it's all part of Africa, mm-hmm. and it all needs to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And in planning the acquisition, how was the further acquisition taken? How do you acquire artwork from the continent?
This exhibition really is, in a way, it invites you to join us in the journey that we have taken for the past 10 years of collecting through gifts, through the support of our wonderful friends and allies, but also the choice purchases that we've made that give shape to a vision of Africa. And that's something that we are always doing. So right now we're in the process of acquiring a very exciting work of art from South Africa that hopefully people will be able to see in the museum in the near future. We're regularly traveling to Africa. In the past year, I've been to Senegal and South Africa. Dr. Cole has been to South Africa. So many of us are actively trying to work with artists around the world to really bring in the best of the range of African expressive culture.
You know,
Dr. Cole,
as a director, not trained in art history and not a curator, just learn constantly. And one of the things that I've learned from my three colleagues, from Karen Milborn and Bryna Fryer and Christine Mullen Kramer, our three curators, is that, and these are my words, Karen, is that we have the possibility of presenting a very dynamic duality. On the one hand, here are exquisite works of art to be admired, to create a sense of awe and wonderment. But we also have the possibility, and I would even say the responsibility, to demystify all that is so beautiful and stunning, and to find ways for folk, our visitors, to pose questions about those works in relationship to themselves. And so I was thinking the other day, because of the title of this exhibition, I was thinking that perhaps as many of our visitors walk through, they'll think about their own collections. You know, I don't know of a gene that we humans have for collecting, but we do collect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about...
You should see my garage.
Your garage, I just moved. I mean, come on, how many things can I collect? But hopefully there's something else that will happen, at least with some of our visitors, they'll think not only about their own collections, but the extent to which, while the object has its value, perhaps its beauty, but something else is there. There are encoded messages. And those messages may be about a range of things. There are also memories. There are memories there, and that's why when we collect, we have such difficulty in deaccessioning. Because, because it's not just the object. It's the memory of when it was acquired, how it was acquired, who gave it to us. And so while this is 10 years of collecting by this museum, I hope folk actually question themselves about their own collecting.
It's interesting you mentioned questioning oneself about their own collection, because the museum comes from a private collection where this man, Warren Robins, when he started, he had never been to the continent. He just bought this piece of artwork in Germany, and then he started mushrooming when he came back to the estates. It just became a big collection, and now it's the National Museum of African Art. So you never know what treasures you have. You could dismiss them, say, "Oh, that's an old thing," but if you don't know the history, and that's the important thing about museums is the culture, the history behind these objects.
They are. They're repositories of relationships, and these relationships include gifts from artists themselves, experiences that we've had getting to know people working in their studios, and those gifts then come to us, but also these journeys that multiple individuals have taken, ambassadors, Peace Corps volunteers, any number of different ways that people have engaged with and fallen in love with the African continent and its different countries and individuals have yielded wonderful treasures that now are available to be shared with the public at our museum.
And that was Dr. Carol Milborn, curator at the National Museum of African Art. We're also talking with the director of the museum, Dr. Janetta Cole. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'd like to have you join in the conversation. You can call 202-588-0893. Again, the number is 202-588-0893. You're listening to Africa Now on WPFW.
Jam. When you hear the names Fly, Funk, Texas Fred, you know it's on. It's on, baby, and you know me, Andrea Bray. I'll be up into that, too. That's the U Street Jam at Prince Hall, Saturday, November 13th. We'll be playing the music of the 60s, 70s, 80s, along with good Zydeco and salsa music. Jam, jam, jam. Yeah, the U Street Jam. That's Saturday, November 13th, from 8 p.m. till midnight. At Prince Hall, 1000 U Street Northwest. Admission is $25. Tickets are available at the door. This is a benefit put on by WPFW's local station board. It's the U Street Jam.
Welcome back to Africa Now, and that's From Africa to You by Nneka from her CD, Concrete Jungle. Another one of those African diaspora people like myself who lives in Germany right now. We are talking with Dr. Janetta Cole, the director of the National Museum of African Art, and also Dr. Karen Milborn, curator of the National Museum of African Art. When we left, we were talking about personal collections and how that's important in art collecting. And even the history of the National Museum of African Art comes from a personal collection. And Karen, you just had some interesting information that you can share with the public that we just talked about during the break.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking about the personal collections, and I'm sure there are many of you out there with some. And so we have a challenge to you, and that is, if you were collecting African art for a decade, what one piece would you include in an exhibition? And so this actually is a challenge to our public. For anyone who has the most creative answer, please submit it on our website. And the staff is actually going to choose the most creative answer, and you will receive a prize. So to our fundraiser next week on November 18th, you'll get 2 free tickets. So to submit your answer, please go to our website. That's www.nmafa.si.edu. So it's www.namafa, National Museum of African Art, .si for Smithsonian Institution, .edu.
And Dr. Cole, you had some
I Well, think I was just sitting here thinking, as a former president of 2 historically black colleges for women, I absolutely have to turn to my colleague, Karen Milbourne, and ask her to talk about how womanhood is engaged in our exhibition, African Mosaics.
That's true. That's a wonderful point. So we've been talking about this exhibition really as the history of collecting, but it's more than that. It provides pathways that you can follow to learn about different themes that pervade much of African art, and one is womanhood. And so within that one section, you can see tributes to how a woman within society, it's more than just sort of a portrayal of the woman, but woman as leader, woman as power, woman as a force of change. And so we have a fabulous contemporary sculpture by the Senegalese artist Mustapha Dime, other classical works of historic material, things that would have been used by women, artists who have portrayed women. We also have a section that focuses on Ethiopia and the style that is so characteristic of that one nation. But that's not the only nation featured. Of course, we have a section that highlights Nigeria's contributions to modern African art. We have a number of stories of individual artists, both historic artists such as Bangboye, who is a Yoruba artist from southwestern Nigeria, and contemporary artists, including one of my favorite pieces. And I know I'm not supposed to say that because there are many fabulous works in this exhibition. But there's a work by Gerard Sokoto, a South African artist, that really it illuminates the room. It's a small piece, but it glows. It takes as its subject a small boy standing at a table, holding at a candle. But that candle, as I said, it reaches beyond the frame of the painting itself. And Gerard Sokoto was such a seminal figure in the history of modern art for the African continent. We also have fabulous works of jewelry from North Africa, artworks made by Jewish artisans, as well as a fabulous photograph by the Sudanese artist Fatih Hassan that was a gift from the artist, and it shows his engagement with Arabic and other scripts. So he's using language as a way literally to create a portrait of himself.
And we are going to take a call from Maryland. We have Dr. Sek on the line. Welcome to Africa Now. You have a brief question or comment?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And actually, it's Professor Sek. I wanted to say a greetings to Dr. Cole. I am the student of one of your former students, Dr. Andre Nicola McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Yes, and I also wanted to say that I have been using for the past several years in a class that I teach on the family, the book that you did with Dr. Beverly Guy Sheftall, Gender Talk. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very liberating and empowering document that doesn't cost very much. And my students have been engaging in discourse around male-female relationships and the state of the black family. And lastly, I wanted to say I enjoyed your presentation at Howard University's graduation last year. And I just salute you and thank you for this opportunity to address you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And may I just say that while the majority of my life has been spent in the academy, which is really about teaching and learning, I just find that I haven't skipped a beat. That's what a museum is about. Mm-hmm. It's about teaching and learning. And I can't help but use a proverb. Unfortunately, I can't situate it in a particular African country, but it says, "She who learns must teach, and she who teaches must learn." And I hope our museum is about that absolutely important circularity.
That's a very eloquent way to put it. I couldn't have said it better. And of course, that's you're our modern-day griot. We're all about you for your wisdom and knowledge on various aspects of the entire world, culture and otherwise. And Karen, do you have any final thoughts about the African Mosaic collection?
One thing I would like to say is that I know for a lot of people, African art can seem intimidating. It's not what you're taught as much in American schools, certainly, and really schools around the world. But one of the things that we've done in this exhibition is create a section called How to Look at African Art. And it gives a number of sort of tools that can help look at African art or art from anywhere in the world. And so I would really encourage you to come and experience what might be new, what might be familiar, but certainly is filled with wonderful treasures.
And Dr. Cole, do you have any final thoughts about future projects and challenges that you're confronting?
If I might, I just want to lift up, give voice to the work of our educators. These are museum professionals whose responsibility it is to reach out into diverse communities, to talk about, to question, to engage audiences, not simply in a given exhibition, but even to dare to ask larger questions about African countries and about ourselves. In the future, it's tempting for me to say what I used to say when I was a college president. There's nothing we need that money can't buy. We have just such an extraordinary, small, but gifted professional staff. But you know, it takes resources to do what a museum does. And when I think about this upcoming exhibition that Karen Milbourne will curate, Artists in Dialogue, I'm almost in chill bumps thinking about this conversation between a South African and a Brazilian artist. But it doesn't happen by magic. And so forgive me if I just make that plea that in these difficult times, we cannot afford not to support the arts, because while we have to take care of our bodies, it's the arts that take care of our souls.
Well said, well spoken. And where can people go for more information about the programs and how to support the museum?
Again, we encourage you to visit the museum itself, but in addition to that, there is the website, www.nmafa.si.edu.
And if you could tell us again, some of us are slow.
www.nmafa.si.edu.
And that's Dr. Karen Milbourne, curator of the African Museum of African Art. The National Museum of African Art. And also we've had the eloquent Dr. Janetta Cole, the director of the National Museum of African Art. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today at Africa Now.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward to talking to you further.
Our joy to be with you.
Thank you very much. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll have announcements, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the Niger Delta region.
I am Fiona Gruber, and our announcements for today are as follows. The World Stands with Cuba Against the United States, presented by the Institute for Policy Studies, IPS Foreign Policy in Focus, and IPS Salsal, featuring Cuban Ambassador George Bolaños. The date for this event is November 10th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Venue, Howard University, Blackburn Center Auditorium, Washington, D.C. For more information, please call 202-806-4822 or email jtrimble@howard.edu. Africa 1960, Beyond Independence, presented by Smithsonian National Museum of African Art and George Washington University Department of History. Date, November 11th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Venue, George Washington University Campus, Marvin Center, Grand Ballroom, 3rd floor, 21st Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. Images of African hip-hop culture and movement, featuring Dr. Messiah Kibona Clark, Assistant Professor in the Department of Pan-African Studies at California State University. Date, November 12th, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's November 12th, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. The venue will be Howard University, Ralph Bonch Center, 2218 6th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please call 202-806-5909. 17th Annual Caribbean American Heritage Awards Gala, presented by the Institute of Caribbean Studies, featuring Nana Rita Morley. Date, November 12th at 7 p.m. Venue, J.W. Marriott, 1331 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please contact events at icsdc.org. Africa in Motion, Celebrating African Independence. Join us for an evening of spoken word, poetry, drumming, and live visual remixing. Fred Joyner MCs tonight's program that includes artists Anna Molago, Pages Matam, The Dry Fish, and DJ IMA. The date for this event will be November 13th at 6:30 p.m. Venue, Smithsonian National Museum of African Art, 950 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please visit www.nmafa.si.edu. African Mosaic, Celebrating a Decade of Collecting. Date, November 19th to December 2011. Venue, Smithsonian National Museum of African Art, 950 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, please visit www.nmafa.si.edu. The African Immigrant and Refugee Foundation invites you to its 8th annual conference, African Youth Kaleidoscope, A Framework for Innovation. Presented in conjunction with Montgomery College, National Council of Negro Women, and African Students Associations. Dates, November 19th and 20th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Venue, Montgomery College, rooms SN100 and ST203. 7600 Tacoma Avenue, Tacoma Park, Silver Spring, Maryland. For more information, please visit www.airfound.org. That's www.airfound.org.